Well, good morning, and I too greet you in Jesus' name this morning. About me, I think we could have just kept singing for the rest of the service, but I just had to think, the singing sounds beautiful from up here, but I just had to wonder what for singing Dottie is hearing this morning. You know, for him, that role has been called, and I believe he answered that call on Sunday morning. I just want to welcome, on behalf of the family, just welcome each one of you here. A lot of friends and family. Thank you for being here. Thank you for showing your love and your support. It's a privilege. It's an honor. It feels like a big responsibility to be able to stand here as the grandson of Paul B. I have many good memories of my grandfather. And it seems a little, I'm not sure what it is, special, I guess, that Arlen and I can both have a part in this way. Arlen and I were close as young boys growing up, as cousins. We spent a lot of time with Dottie and in his shop there, probably made quite a bit of a mess for him sometimes, but he never seemed to mind us being in there and tinkering with his tools and probably getting in the way sometimes. One thing I do remember is the little cardboard note he had on his desk there in his shop. And his desk was always a mess, just papers everywhere and all. It was a mess. And it said something about do not clean up the mess, and at the bottom it said boys. I was never quite sure if that meant us little boys or if that meant his boys. I'm not quite sure, but a lot of good memories. Another very good memory I have of Mommy and Dottie is summer Bible school. And we would usually, during the week, or I guess it was probably 2 weeks at that time, of summer Bible school in the New Order Church, we would be allowed to go home with Dottie's for the night. And then be there for the next day and go with them back to Bible school again the next evening. And I don't remember vividly remember a lot of things that happened, you know, during those stays, but just a lot of good times. One thing I do know is that we were always early, probably almost too early, probably the first ones there usually at Bible school that next evening. But I believe that was something that Dottie took very serious, was to be prompt. And then some more recent memories. It was a blessing to see him interact with my children, with our children. The way he took an interest in children was really special. He knew most of our children by name whenever we met. Sometimes he had to think a little bit, but he usually knew. And that was really special. And then also, after I was ordained, I know he was a big prayer supporter for me. He told me that quite a few times. And he often had words of encouragement, which are really special. But we're gathered together here today because Dottie, in some way touched probably every one of our lives. And at this time of death, this time of parting, it seems final. It seems like, I mean, he's just not here. And he isn't here. And he won't be here again on this earth. But I believe if we look at death in the way that God views death, which I think the reason it's so hard for us to do that is because none of us ever experienced it. You know, there's many things that we can walk alongside people and help them through, help them work through, maybe if we experience the same thing, but none of us here have ever experienced death. We have seen it, but we personally haven't experienced it. And I believe that's part of the reason that it's so hard for us to understand at times. But I like the verse where it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." For a short message here this morning, I want to take the text from Psalm 1. I just want to look at the six verses there in Psalm 1. But several other verses before we get there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And then we maybe fast forward to James 14, verse 4. The end of the verse there says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." I believe it is what we do with that vapor, that little time, is what we do with that little time that determines our destiny, determines our eternal destiny. And I'm confident this morning that what Dawdy did in his life here on earth, yes, he was human, he wasn't perfect, but the life that I saw him live, I believe determined where he is this morning, and the joy and peace that we know he is experiencing today. And I don't know what it's like to die and get to heaven. There again, we don't know how that all works, but I just left my imagination run a little this morning, and as I was thinking of what happened when Dawdy died on Sunday morning, was Jesus the first one he met? Were some of his siblings that have gone on before him the first ones they met? Then I had to think of Uncle Levi as well. And I just remember, the good times we had together at family gatherings and things, and now just thinking of them being together this morning again, Sunday morning for the first, and probably, like I said, I don't know how all that works in heaven, but I believe we will know each other when we get there. And I'm sure there's many others too that he is meeting. And I guess for myself, if I think of heaven in that way and think of people dying, that they're still so alive, probably more alive than he ever was here on this earth, it helps to take the pain away. It helps to, ease the loss. I also had the privilege of looking through Dawdy's Bible a little bit last night and this morning. I just want to read several of the verses that he had in parentheses or highlighted, which there was a lot of them. His Bible was very well worn, and he had a lot of markings and writings in his Bible. But just a few verses I'd like to read. In Revelation 3, verse 21, it says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father in his throne." And also in Revelation 14, verse 13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." If we look now at Psalm 1, I believe God allows us to experience sorrow. He allows us to experience grief. He allows us to experience trials, because for some reason it forces us to, at least for myself, it forces me to examine my life maybe from a little different perspective. Forces us to look at our lives maybe a little more the way that God looks at our lives. Psalm 1 is a very familiar psalm, but the first verse there is, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." It's just a list of things there that the righteous man does not do. It says he doesn't walk with the ungodly, he doesn't stand with the sinners, he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. And verse 2 then tells us what he does. This is talking about the this man that doesn't do all these things. But in verse 2 it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The first phrase there in verse 1 says, blessed is the man. And I believe the word blessed there just simply means happiness and contentment. If we find ourselves in that, following what Psalm 1 says here, I believe it will lead to happiness and contentment. Just completely meditating on God's word. It says here day and night. It says that his delight is just in studying God's word, in following God's word. I believe it speaks of a person. This blessedness is speaking of a person who is right with God. It doesn't promise riches. It doesn't promise health. It doesn't promise being famous or anything like that. It just says that the man is blessed who finds his delight in the law of the Lord and meditates in it day and night. It goes on in verse 3. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And as I thought of the phrase there about bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and I don't know what all this fruit is. I think it probably means a lot of different things, but as we were gathered in the room over here this morning with mommy and her children, and then all of us grandchildren and quite a few great-grandchildren, you know, I believe that's some of the fruit that it's talking about here. Just a heritage of faithfulness that can be seen, passed on to the next generation, I believe is something that we as the grandchildren need not take for granted. It's something that not everybody has, but it's something that we were blessed with. And I believe something that Dottie was very passionate about was passing on the faith, passing on what he knew to be true and right. It tells us that in verse 4, that the ungodly are not so. So there is a difference here. Not everybody is, as it says in verse 1, this blessed man says, the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And it tells us in verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Another thing I noticed in verse 1 is the progression of sin, we might call it. It talks in verse 4 about the ungodly. And it says in verse 1 that the man that doesn't partake in those things is blessed. And I think we see a progression here. It says that he walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Got to get the idea of, you know, we can't help when temptations come. There's things in this world that we live in that can allure us to sin. But I believe it's important that we don't walk in that direction. Because I think we can see what happens. If we continue to walk in that downward direction, then after a bit it says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. If we keep going in the way of sin, keep following that, eventually we will probably stand there and just accept a little bit more of it. And then the last phrase in verse 1 says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And I believe that's many times what happens. We've often heard the phrase that sin will take you further than you want to go. I believe that is very true. But it tells us here that the righteous, I believe, don't even consider those ways. They don't even walk in that way. They don't even begin to go down that path. Verse 2, his delight, this righteous man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And I believe as Christians, we shouldn't be afraid to take that maybe less traveled pathway, the unpopular road, because it does lead to blessing. Just want to read a few verses in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Psalm 16:11 was another passage in Doughty's Bible that he had a lot of parentheses around the verses. And Psalm 16:11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Again, just rewards of meditating in God's, delighting in God's law, meditating in it day and night. Just the awesome rewards that I believe Dottie's experiencing this morning because of his faithfulness in that. I guess the question for us today, what is your delight? What is my delight? What makes us happy? What makes it worth it to get up in the morning? You know, we will automatically fill our lives and hearts with something. Are we filling it with God's word? Are we meditating on it? I believe if we do, we will be as it says in verse 3. We will be like that tree planted by the river of water. There will be fruit. The leaves won't wither. And there will be, it says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And I just love that picture there. If you think about it, that picture of a tree planted by the, you know, beside a river, beside a water source, even if it doesn't rain for a while, that tree has plenty of nutrients. That tree will continue to bear fruit. That tree will continue to grow. I believe that's what God wants of his people. He wants that fruit to continue to come forth. He doesn't want us to experience dry times. He is that river of water for us. I just want to close yet with a few verses in Psalm 23, another very familiar psalm. Just want to read several verses there. Psalm 23. I think I'll just read the whole psalm here, then make a few comments yet. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I believe the author here was David, and it's quite obvious that David's faith rested in God. God was his shepherd. His faith in God replaced the fear of his enemies. Because of his faith, that he didn't fear death, which I think was another just a wonderful thing to see in Dottie. He had absolutely no fear of dying. He didn't want anything to be done. He didn't want to go to the hospital. I had stopped in to see him on last Tuesday evening after work, and I kind of wanted to know how he's feeling, but he didn't really want to talk about it. He kept asking me more about work and the things I'm doing than what he wanted to talk about himself, but he just made the comment the one time when I asked him how he feels. He said he feels okay, he's just ready to go. And I believe that is only because the Lord was his shepherd. And I believe, even though it's going to be hard, and especially for you, Mommy, the Lord is our shepherd. He will take us through. He will guide us through. Just a verse in 1 Peter 5, verse 4. It says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." You know, God gives us a standard to live by. He gave us his word. And he gave us family, he gave us church, he gave us so many things to guide us in the right direction. It says, "When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And that's another wonderful promise to the faithful. But the Bible also tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But praise the Lord, we can have assurance that we can live eternally with him. Shall we stand for prayer? Our righteous, eternal Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your love. We thank you for your power. I just thank you for the blessing of having a faithful grandfather. Thank you for the many things that I've learned from him. God, I just pray that you would just help us to be faithful. Help us to continue this faithfulness, to pass it on to the next generation. God, I pray you would help us to be strong, to be faithful. I pray especially for Mommy the next several days and weeks. Just pray your guiding hand, your blessing with her, and also with each of the family. So there will be adjustments, there will be a spot missing. But God, we just thank and praise you this morning that we could have that hope, that faith, that confidence that he is with you this morning. I just thank you again for your love, your goodness to us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated.
I want to greet you in the worthy name of Christ as well. Thank you, Paul, for those thoughts and that message. I was blessed to be here already. Just want to start out with some words of comfort. There's quite a bit of those shared already this morning. Had the verse written down that Paul already quoted, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." There's a couple verses in Ecclesiastes that say, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." And he goes on to say that it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. And so I think you all made a good choice to be here, and I thank you for coming. And also just want to voice my appreciation to the support that I see here. Some other verses I had written down that were also mentioned already, I think over in the room here, was those verses in 1 Thessalonians 4. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that we sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And it goes on and talks about how those dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then it says, comfort one another with these words. And my emotions are all over the place this morning. I feel a sadness. I feel there's a parting, and yet I'm rejoicing. I'm happy for Dottie this morning. I praise God for the confidence and the assurance that we can have that He is in the presence of His Savior right now. Bless you, Mommy, for as you go through this time. I feel like I have a special connection with Dottie, and I imagine that probably a lot of you feel the same way. Dottie was a man that was very relational. He loved people. And I'm sure that he has probably influenced and impacted your life in some way or another. Dottie was, he was my grandpa, but he was also, I view him as a very close friend. We lived right down the drive there from them. And he was just a constant presence there for the first 22 years of my life. He was right there. I seen him almost every day, talked with him a lot, did so much with him. A lot of those early memories, also thought about some of the things that you talked about, Paul. Spending time there up in his shop. A lot of good memories. He would often ask me to help him with different projects he had there. One thing that he really enjoyed doing was cutting and splitting wood. And somehow he would get me roped into helping him oftentimes with that. I helped him take care of the mass cemetery some. He spent a lot of time over there. And he taught me a lot while I was working alongside of him. I remember working there with him at the cemetery. He would talk about death. He didn't tiptoe around the subject of Christ returning or him dying. He pointed out where he was going to be buried. And it's an impression, it's something that has impressed me as a young boy. And I still, I guess I thought about that a lot in the last couple of days. Not sure how much I should go down memory lane, but the more as I was studying this message, it's just, I just kept coming back to different things, that memories that I had with him, and so I'll probably refer to quite a bit of those as we go along. We worked together on servicing equipment and keeping things in shape, and later on, my late teens, I would take him on business errands Saturday mornings. We'd go out for breakfast often. I have no idea how many times I went out to breakfast with Dottie. And I don't know even always what we talked about, but he would always have something to say. And those are precious memories for me today. He was interested in others' lives. He was interested in the lives of his children, his grandchildren, and his great-grandchildren. He had concern for them. He prayed for them. I know he did. I heard him. And I feel unworthy, but I feel honored to be able to honor his request for me to preach at his funeral. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I feel like I'm held up here by a lot of prayer, and I appreciate those of you who assured me of your prayers in the last 48 hours. I wasn't sure how this is going to go for me. I feel like I'm held up here by prayer. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Dottie prayed for this service as well. But Dottie lived life to the fullest, and I believe that that'd be his encouragement to us to continue on in faithfulness. I'm going to get to that a little bit later on here. Dottie had, he lived life with enthusiasm. He was all out. Maybe sometimes came across even a little bit rash and uncensored, and yet it's who he was, and he didn't hide it. And I could appreciate that for the most part. And like I said, he was a good friend of mine, and we related, I feel like close friends. And there was times where we didn't always see eye to eye, and there was times where maybe he didn't always, he just kind of let me know how he feels about something there on the farm or whatever, but I didn't have to worry about what he was thinking, and I can appreciate that. We had a lot of good times together. But I believe that he wants us to continue on and live life to the fullest as well. And there's a song in the little brochure or the little pamphlet that you might have picked up here. And it says, "Miss me but let me go. And I could just hear Dottie say that. And continue on and live your life. And we don't wish Dottie back. Of course we don't. And yet we do. We do miss him. We will miss him. I stopped in there on Thursday evening, and I seen Dottie laying there. He was not responding. And I don't know if he could hear what we were saying. We did some singing there. But after I seen him there, I just knew that he was ready for his new body. His body was worn out. He wasn't responding, and my prayer was just, Lord, take him home. And I believe he's living in that new body right now. I have no problem believing that. I also had the privilege of looking through Dottie's Bible yesterday. I was blessed. Talking about his body and wearing out, and there were some things that, especially his hands, that really hindered him from doing some work that he would have wanted to do at times. And in Matthew 12, there's a story of the man with a withered hand. And Dottie has written in his Bible there, it said, Lord, heal my hands, please. Dottie's hands are healed. It was something that he struggled with. There was also some verses in 2 Corinthians 12 there. And it's the verses where Paul asked God to remove a thorn in the flesh 3 times. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. He had that verse highlighted, I believe, in parentheses, underlined, I'm not sure. Dottie lived a full life. He was almost 90. And he always looked forward to the next thing. And he still looked forward to things that were going to happen this year. He looked forward to turning 90. I remember calling him on his 89th birthday, and he said with some enthusiasm, he said, now I'm in my 90th year. And he sounded like he was excited about that. And I think he would have loved to see his 90th birthday. That was going to happen here in about a month. He was also looking forward to his 70th wedding anniversary this year. He was also looking forward to welcoming his first great-great-grandchild. But I'm sure Dottie's okay with that. More than that, he wanted to meet those who went on before him, his friends and relatives. He talked about that a lot. He talked about that last time I visited with him. But even more than that, he said, I want to see my Savior first. Praise God for his testimony. And even though he lived 90 years, I think he would still say, that life is short. He had a verse in 1 Chronicles 29:15 that says, he had it underlined, "For we are strangers before thee and sojourners. Our days on the earth are as a shadow." Psalm 90 says, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass that groweth up." They are like grass that groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And then in verse 12 it says, "Teach us to number our days." I would like to leave that with you as well. Let's remember that life is short, and we don't know. Our life is in the hands of God, and with a crowd this size, and we don't know who's going to be next. If Christ tarries, one of us is going to be next to be laying in our coffin. Are we ready for that? Let's be ready. I believe Doughty was ready to go. He talked about that. He was ready. Another verse, place that he had written in his Bible, was in John 11. Verse 25 and 26, this was where Lazarus had died, and Jesus was talking to Martha. He says, "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And Doughty has written there, "Yes, I do. I do believe." You see, Doughty made a choice at some point in his life. I don't know Doughty's testimony of how he came to the Lord, but at some point in his life, it's very obvious that he made a commitment to Christ. And I'm sure that he wants each one of you to make that personal choice. It's not because of you're not a child of God, you're not a Christian because you're Paul B's grandson or his great-grandson or somehow that you know him in some way. That doesn't make you a child of God. You need to make that choice to say yes to Jesus Christ. I want to spend some time in 1 Corinthians 15 yet, maybe on that, kind of continuing on in that thought. These were some of Doughty's favorite verses, especially verse 58. He would quote this verse often. But I'm going to start in verse 50, 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 50, it says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I'll stop there for now. And I kind of broke in here, but Paul here is talking to the Corinthians about the resurrection and how the body is going to be changed. But for us to have that hope, for us to know that our bodies will be changed to a heavenly body, we need to allow Christ to work in our hearts, to do His work in our lives, to say yes to Jesus Christ, to make Him Lord of our lives, to allow His Spirit to work in us and change us. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Will you, will I, be a part of that? Let's all make that choice, and I trust that you have. That you are living a life that is bringing glory and honor to God. When we have that confidence and that assurance in our hearts, death loses its sting. The grave does not have victory over us. Yes, we grieve and we miss those who have gone on before us. And life isn't going to be the same again. Some of us will... It will affect more than others, but and yet we can rejoice in the hope that we have, in the confidence that we have, the assurance that Dottie is in the presence of his Savior, and we can again see him someday if our hearts are right. And so, in a lot of ways, funerals are not for the dead, but for the living. Doughty lived his life. He left us a great example of how to live. He gave us a lot. I believe he did what he could for us in a lot of ways. Now it's up to us to make that choice to continue on in faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. If Doughty would be standing up here this morning in front of this crowd of people, I am almost 100% sure this is what he would say. He would read this verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He would quote that verse in his testimonies, especially his testimonies that after his grandchildren or at his grandchildren's baptisms. But I believe that's Doughty's wish for each one of us here, that we would continue on in steadfastness, being grounded and rooted in truth, in righteousness, abounding in the work of the Lord, putting ourselves into what God has called us to do. It says, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I don't believe Doughty's labor was in vain because it was for God. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So I want to leave that encouragement with each one of you. He had his blessing on his children and his grandchildren when they were involved in the work of the Lord, the work of his kingdom. Again, thank you for coming, and I thank you for your prayers. God bless you. I'll turn the time back to the ministry here.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Wonderful promises. A glorious scripture there, reminding us of salvation in Christ and the hope that we have, the resurrection, and then the promise of resurrection for those who believe, being kept by the power of God. There was a portion of scripture that in growing up I heard quoted in German so often that I can quote it. And when I visited Paul a week ago, I made a rather failed attempt to quote it. And so I thought about that this morning. See, amen to what the brethren shared here. Paul was a dear brother. I considered him a dear friend as well. He sat right behind me there. A lot of times, the first brother I would meet after church, and very frequently we would share together in a verse from the German Bible. So the German, our heritage, Paul and I shared an appreciation for that. And so I was asked to read a German psalm. There's a lot of things I could say, but I'm just going to let this song say it. And maybe for those who don't understand German, I'll give you just a quick rundown of what the songwriter is saying. The songwriter here says that he had in mind to sing, but then he was reminded of his own frailty. He was reminded of the struggles of life. He was reminded of the brevity of life. He was reminded of all the struggles and trials we go through. And only death brings to an end those trials of life. But then he goes on and he talks a bit about death. Everybody's going to die, he says. And then he talks about death being the wages of sin. But then in this mix of singing and weeping, he bursts out with a verse here that we discovered 45 years ago with its expression of assurance of salvation. And much of that was shared here this morning already. The songwriter speaks of those who would give all that they have to avoid death and judgment. But then he says, but not I. I'm a Christian. And I know that death for me is but a door to life. And a wonderful expression that I think that Paul would resonate with as well. And I think that's why just Sunday a week ago when I met him here, he told me he's ready to go to heaven and ask if I would go with him. that would have been a joy just to go with him. So the songwriter says, zu singen hab ich im Sinn, wollt doch viel lieber weinen, wenn ich denk, wer ich bin. Ein schwache Kreatur, gemacht aus Staub und Erden, armselig von Natur. Was ist des Menschen Sach? Was ist des Menschen Leben? Es ist ein Krankheit schwach. Es ist viel Angst und Not, viel Kummer und viel Trauern, das wahret bis an den Tod. Der Tod, ein End der Qual, durch den uns Gott tut führen, aus diesem Jammertal. Der Tod, der ist gemein, wir müssen all von hinnen, der groß gleich wieder klein. O Mensch, ergib dich drein, es mag nicht anders werden, es muss gestorben sein. Der Tod, den Sünden soll, kann mancher ihn abwenden, gab sein guten Gold. In this verse, ich nicht, ich bin ein Christ, und weiß, dass mir das Sterben ein Tür zum Leben ist. Auch Herr, das freut mich wohl, dass ich von dieser Erde zur Ruhe kommen soll. Then I thought there was a few verses here. It was a very apt description of Brother Paul. He loved his wife. He loved his children. He loved his grandchildren. I heard him express that love many times. But here again, the songwriter speaks of wanting to sing, but then ending in weeping. And I've heard him in his love for his children and grandchildren to end up with tears in his eyes of concern in that love. And so the songwriter says here, hast du lieb Weib und Kind, sie müssen bald zu dir kommen, dann sie auch sterblich sind. Hast du viele liebe Freund, viel Lieben wirst auch finden, die schon im Himmel sind. Denk dich an deine Sünden schwer, kein Menschen dir finden, der nicht beladen wäre. And I remember my grandfather's comment many times where he would say, ein mancher liegt in Scrub, as if he cannot hold. And so the songwriter here speaks of the many friends, lieb Weib und Kinder. But when you get over there, there'll be so many more. There'll be many there that you know and are rejoicing together there. Now a few words to you, Anna. I won't interpret these. You understand these. Der gute Vater dein, des Heiligen Geistes Gnaden, wohlstätig bei dir sein. Mit Trost in aller Not, dass ich mag überwinden, aus Schmerzen und den Tod. Wenn ich nun scheid davon, empfahl, o Herr, mein Seel, für sie ins Himmels Thron. Dann hat ein End mein Klag, mit Freude tue ich warten, bis auf den letzten Tag. Dann würde ich auferstehen, Herr, durch dein Kraft und Gnade, das ewig Leben gern. Mit allen Kindern dein, die du, Herr, wirst begnaden, zu ehren dein Namen dein. Praise to the name of Jesus. Amen.
Truly, it's been good to be here. Thank you, Paul and Arlen, for sharing the word with us. I believe your grandfather would have been well pleased. I'd like to read the obituary at this point. Paul B. Stolzfus, aged 89, of Gap, passed away on Sunday, January 8, 2023. He was the husband of Anna S. Stolzfus, born in Morgantown. He was the son of the late Amos E. and Sevilla F. Byler Stolzfus. Paul was a member of the Summerview Christian Fellowship. He enjoyed puzzles, riding bike, traveling, and he loved people. In addition to his wife, he is survived by 5 children. Lydia Ann, wife of the late Levi Stolzfus of Port Royal, Pennsylvania. Reuben A., husband of Sadie Mae Stolzfus of Morgantown. Ben U.S., husband of Marion Byler Stolzfus of Parksburg. Rachel May, wife of Marvin Zook. Naomi S., wife of Reuben Z. Byler, both of Gap. 45 grandchildren and 75 great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death by 2 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren, and 7 siblings. Benuel, Jonathan, Melinda, and Katie Stolzfus, Barbara Kaufman, Sarah Blank, and Amos, late husband of Emma May Glick Stolzfus of Honeybrook.